Alright, I'm gonna go ahead and get started. It's right at 2 o'clock, and I know when we start discussing, we gotta get long-winded, so I'm not gonna wait to start. But my name is Stacy Kendall, and I'm the children's minister at Memorial Drive, Church of Christ here in Tulsa. And there's another lady that is also the children's minister there that's been longer than me, so everything I know is pretty much from her. But her name is Linda Scott. And she's not in my class for some reason. I don't know where she is, but obviously she has nothing to learn if I've learned it all from her, I guess. But really, it's not what I have to say. What this is, last year we did a children's ministry panel. I called 4 children's ministers. I called one from a really big church here in Tulsa. Memorial is kind of a mediocre-sized church, and then I called some from smaller churches, just with different dynamics. And we had some questions prepared, and they answered, and then the people that were here asked questions. Now, the reason I changed it up this year is because by the time we got to the questions from everybody else, and it seemed like it was cut really short. And I realized how rich it was just for us to talk to each other about what we're doing at our churches and how, I mean, there was so, I mean, we left like, oh my goodness, we have to leave, but we don't want to. Because there is so much from just sharing that. There's so much we can get from sharing that information. So as quickly as I can, just because I want you guys to warm up and start talking as soon as possible, I want to just go around and everybody introduce themselves and just say where they're from. So if we could do that for the first couple minutes, we'll start right here.
Oh, all right, I'm Shelby. I'm from Kansas City, Kansas, and I'm an AIM. So...
I'm Jocelyn Holman. I'm also an AIM, and I'm from Altoona, Pennsylvania. We're teammates.
Jeff Bailey from Minnesota.
I'm Shauna Turner from Minnesota.
Haku from Minnesota.
Karen Strandy from Stillwater.
I guess we'll go right here.
Okay, I'm Heather, and I'm from Missouri.
Okay.
Jenny Lusty, and I'm from Norman.
Oh. Ashley from Edmond.
Tommy Patton from Edmond.
Chris May. My
mom. Very good. They're from Memorial. Ryland's going to show you guys something we do at Memorial, hopefully. So, all right.
Dan and Melanie Bloom from Pratt, Kansas, and this is our little girl, Abby.
Hey, thank you.
Patty Van Busker, lacrosse user.
Cindy Alba from Michigan, Upper Michigan.
Gary Radke, Fairland, Oklahoma.
Hey, I'm Sherry Sally. Hey.
Lori Miller, Kansas. Well, Liberty, Missouri.
Right there.
Nancy Anderson from Northville, Houston.
Hey.
Bob Blanchett, I just recently moved from Minnesota to Crowley, Louisiana.
Eli, Arkansas.
Rob Lyman, Del Rio, Texas.
Glenn Boyd, Del Rio.
I live in Mount Pleasant, Texas.
Wow, I think that's neat because I've never asked people in a class where everybody's from, and it's really neat to just see that we are from all over the place. The first question that I wanted to throw out there is, why are you here? What do you hope to get from this? And we'll just do this really quick. And Ryland's sitting really patiently back there, and I wanted to share a teaching tool that I have next. And so then we'll start with Ryland. But does anybody want to share what brought you to this class? What you hope to get from this? Or
Well, we're on the same team going to Miami, Florida for our mission field, for AIM, and a lot of our ministry will be in the city missions, and we'll be working a lot with kids, and so we wanted to get a little more advancement in, like, what to do with different ages.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I teach fourth and fifth grade Bible class. I'm always looking for new ideas and teachers, new ways to.
Okay.
Okay.
I started coming to lectureships a long time ago, and this is how I got started as far as the excitement of teaching. And now that my daughter is teaching, I want her to see the value and richness that comes from lectureships. And it's a great start to the new world.
Very good. Hey, Jake, will you shut the doors,
please? We work with inner city kids at housing communities in the St. Paul area, and just always looking for new ideas with kids age 5 to 12.
Yeah, that's great. Anybody else?
Yeah. I work with kids at our church, and it's more of a lot of my kids are come from homes that are broken, come from homes that are, don't have, you know, parent figures in there, and so I don't know if we're going to talk about that topic, but, you know, ideas on how to reach them better and to, you know, to learn how to act better, things like that.
That's good. And that's an interesting topic because so many times we do have those kids that come in our classrooms and we feel like we have to be the, hi, sweetie, or, you know, and it's impossible. It's impossible to have that and have an effective class at the same time. So to start out, we're going to throw out, this is completely wide open. To start out, we're just going to talk about cool things, cool ways that resources, tools, or ideas that we use in our classroom to illustrate a certain point. I know that is so wide open, but I'm going to start out and give you an example with Ryland. This is something that I did not come up with myself. It was, she's bringing those up there. It was a lady from our church named Mona Edwards, and she teaches the 2 and 3 year olds. And she just came up with these Books of the Bible flashcards. She just made them where the pictures kind of look like there's Genesis, and she put a jungle gym because gym sounds like Genesis. And as you see these going along, and there's just a lot of different pictures that the kids can associate with the books of the Bible. And we do this, Mona does it in her class. I teach the Sunday morning toddler, like 2, 3, and younger 4s class, and sometimes the Wednesday night teachers will do this. But almost all the kids, by the time they leave our 4-year-old class, they probably don't even need this anymore. They can tell you the books of the Bible. And I honestly, when I use it, I start with Old Testament, and then later on I do New Testament, because most parents are singing the New Testament song with their kids, but the Old Testament song, it's just like, what are all those words? You know, it's just harder to say. But it, to me, watching Mona use these, I just grabbed onto them, and I'm like, can I have those? Can I have copies of those? Can I, you know, because it was amazing to me that 2-year-olds could even say Hezekiah, you know, and or Haggai, and know what order they're in. So anyway, I just wanted to show you guys. Ryland is 4, and he's been in my Bible hour now. He probably should be leaving my Bible hour soon. I beg his mom to leave him for a little bit longer because he's one. They're all my favorites, but, you know, he's, yeah. So, okay, Ryland, can you say these books of the Bible for me? Oh, and here's our trick. Freeze. What's next? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus.
Numbers.
And then you look. You say, yay, because you got it right. Okay, good.
Deuteronomy.
I have these on cardstock at home, so it's a lot easier.
Sure.
This kid's name's really Samuel. She just took a picture of him and put it on. What's next?
Ezra.
We just pick random times to freeze to see if they know what's next. Ryland always knows. So, yay, he got it right. Edges, Ezra.
else? Do you know what's next? Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs.
Isaiah, Jeremiah. Daniel, Hosea.
What's that say? Rhymes with bowl.
Jewel.
There we go. What's next? Amos. Wait. It's in your home. Never mind. I missed your Over what?
Over dying.
Okay. What's next?
Micah
Nahum. We always say Nahum for the horse. What's the last book of the Old Testament? The last book? What's that one say? Malachi. And then we have an Old Testament song that we sing after we do it. But that, by the way, very good job, Ryan. I thought it would be neat to bring him in and just show you guys that, I mean, it works and it's easy, and I've got probably not enough copies, but I've got copies back there for you guys to take of this. And if you want like a digital copy, I have to get with Mona and get it because it's on her hard drive. But if you leave an address over there, I could write that down. But anyway, just really neat stuff like this that is so useful. And there's a New Testament one too, but I'm not going to put him through that. But and we don't go through the New Testament near as much as we do the Old Testament in my class. But anyway, thank you, Rylan. I'm going to let Rylan leave if he wants to leave, because he's not into teaching kids right now. So does anybody else, I know it's so wide open, but is there like a tool you use or a method you use in your classes that you think that others would benefit from?
Go Fish has the Bible book app that is really good song for teaching kids. It goes through all books of the Bible. It's available on their VBS DVD online. But it's called the Bible Book Clock.
The Bible
really
Book
fun,
Clock.
Really well done. And there's some other songs on there.
Okay.
It'd be good to probably do both of those together so you can have the Bible card to go through as they're singing.
Yeah. And when we do this, we always go through and we've got an Old Testament song. I'm not into singing in front of everybody, otherwise I'd sing it for you. But after we do that, and that's why I was kind of singing some of the stuff to him, because it's easy for him to remember with that. But Rylan, he doesn't even need these anymore to tell me the books of the Bible. He'll just go through them and tell you, you know, at least the Old Testament. I don't know that he knows the New Testament as well. But anyway, so that I'm going to write this down up here so we could just have, you said that's called Bible Bop?
It's called the Bible Book Bop, and it's by Go Fish. Go Fish has a lot of good songs. They have DVDs, so they're really easy.
Anybody
Some
else?
Some of them are remakes of traditional ones, you know, like Only One You David and the VIP. Some of them are new.
Another one that I love, and this is more for younger kids, in the Bible class, I don't like showing movies on TV a lot, and especially because a lot of them take or even little shows. A lot of them just take forever to tell the story. But there's the DVD Bible, and it's preschool. But it's the Bible on DVD, and the episodes are like 2 minutes long for the story of David, and you don't feel like. You don't feel like I'm teaching this class and having these kids sit down and watch TV. You don't feel like the slacker teacher, you know? But the kids,
I mean, we all know this day and age, the kids, they're not into flannel graph, they're into TV, you know, and that's what my kids will just like, if I feel like they're rowdy or whatever, I'll just put that on and just regain control in a second. And it doesn't take all my time in class too. Does anybody else have any other suggestions that they would want to share? Yeah.
Walk through the Bible does great stuff. We take them through the hand signs of both the Old Testament and New Testament, and they also do pictures on books of the Bible, and they have key words that go along with the pictures. That's really cool too.
Good. Something that Memorial did starting this fall, and this is less of just a children's ministry thing, and it's more of a church decision, but we started doing the story. Has anybody here, has their congregations gone through the story? And I don't know if you guys feel as blessed from it as I have, but as a children's minister, I almost feel like I need to give my check back to the church, because my job has, it's not even about how easy it's been for me, but it's been very easy. But just the amount that's come out from it, and the fact that the kids are learning in their classroom what they learned. They learn it three times a week. It's all different activities, but they learn the same lesson during Bible hour, during Sunday morning, during Wednesday night. But they're also learning it at home if their parents are following through and doing the home thing. And their parents are also learning the same thing in their Bible class. And you start with Genesis and you end with Revelation. We finish at the end of April with ours. But it has been amazingly just awesome to be able to go through that as a church family, and the kids just be on board. And it's so fun to walk in. Wednesday night's the first time we introduce the lesson, and the kids know it. A lot of them know it. And I'm like, you don't know it. I know you haven't been reading this at home. They all have their Bibles, their story Bibles. That's chapter one is lesson one. But it's the same chapter one for your two-year-old is also the same title as chapter one for your, 70-year-olds. The Bibles are just written simple, a little more difficult. There's preschool, and then there's younger elementary, older elementary, teen, and then adult. And so, but they're all just written in more detail. And so that's been a huge blessing for our church. But like I said, it's something you would have to get. You wouldn't necessarily even have to get your whole church on board. I know a lot of churches do it differently. Like, if you just want to do it with your children's ministry, then at least all your kids are going through it at the same time. But I would recommend adults too. I just thought that was, it's been a blessing, because we did a parent-teacher meeting last April, and we introduced the concept, and everybody was so excited about it. I put out teacher sign-up sheets, and I just found two sets of teachers for the whole 9 months. And I said, you two sets of teachers, communicate with each other. Do you want to do it 1 month on, 1 month off? Do you want to do 2 months on? Do you want to alternate weeks? However you want to do it, you two sets of teachers coordinate that. So we had sign-up sheets for each class for two teachers. By the end of that meeting, they were all taken. They were all filled up because there was so much excitement. And so here I am. The part that I hate about my job, I will confess, is calling and getting teachers. And I feel guilty calling and begging, but what a blessing it is that those people came to me and said, I want to teach, I want to do that, and I'm like, wow, this is this is heavenly. And so ever since last April, I haven't had to call to find a teacher for a single class. It's been covered. And I still, and there's people that I just had three sets of subs that also was on that sign-up sheet. And all those teachers know, if you aren't there, call these people. And so I haven't even really gotten to make phone calls about subbing. So that's why I feel like I'm kind of cheating. I kind of feel like I need to give my check back, because that's the part of my job that I feel like I get paid for. Because the teaching the kids part is a blessing. I love that part of it. So I'm chatting a lot, and I'm not supposed to be talking a lot. This is a discussion class. Does anybody else have any other resources or ideas that they... I have one more, but I want to give other people time to talk. Yeah.
Other than Bible school, what does your ministry do for children?
We do... Yeah, we do a lot of summer activities. We do summer camp. We go to Camp Impact at Oklahoma Christian, which is a really good camp if you're ever looking for a camp to get your kids involved in. It's top of the line. Very good. And they have a middle school version and a high school version of that camp also. We do a lot of, during the summer, activities. We also have, like, a Thursday meeting. We have a children's intern that organizes all the activities that the kids come and do a few times a week. We do an Easter hoopla. The other, the reason I'm kind of curriculum-minded is because that's really my focus, and Linda, her focus is activities. So she does, throughout the year, she does a Christmas play. She does a fall festival at Easter hoopla. She does a lot of the service project activities. We'll pack boxes for college students. A lot of other stuff. See, if she was here, she would be able to answer that question. We do a lot. Can you think of anything else, Jacob? He's been in the children's ministry for a long time, so he should know. We do, I mean, a lot of our stuff is very incorporated into family ministry, too. We don't have, like, a family minister, you know. We kind of just work together. But we do water downtown on Sunday afternoons where we'll go. It's Project Tulsa. A lot of, it's not even a minister that leads it. It's just a guy, and they've got this, Nias Baran's booth out here. But he and his wife take a bunch of bottles of water and they go downtown. But a lot of kids go and do that too. It's something they could easily do. But did that answer your question? Okay. Before I go on to the next subject, the last tool that I have, and I have copies of it over here, is a Ten Commandments tool. And I shared this last year, if any of y'all were in here last year. But it's really hard for even me to learn the Ten Commandments in order and remember them a week later, you know. And this is something that I haven't done it with my little kids in a long time. A lot of the stuff that I do with the little kids, I use for the bigger kids, too. Those books of the Bible, if we don't do them with the older kids, by the time they're in the fifth grade, they've forgotten it. So we have to do them every once in a while with them, not as often, not 3 days a week, but... And these, the finger motions for the Ten Commandments is really an easy way for even the three-year-olds to learn the Ten Commandments. And you just hold up one finger for commandment number one, and it's don't bow down to idols. You're bowing your... I mean, I'm just kidding. It's God is number one. That was the wrong one. God is number one. Number two is don't bow down to idols. And then number three, do you remember, Jacob? You're confusing me. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Yeah. I haven't done these in forever. I should go get my cheat sheet and look. Number three is don't use the Lord's name in vain. Number four, somebody tell me what number four is. I'm not remembering. I'm on the spot. Oh, yes. Sabbath day holy. You kind of rest on number four. Number five is honor your mother and father. Number six, the kids really like number six because it's do not murder. So you say do not murder. And then number seven is they all say do not dance, but it's not do not dance. It's do not commit adultery. You're dancing with your spouse. Number eight is eight steal. Is eight steal? Do not steal. It's like you're grabbing. Number nine is do not lie. It's like room. You're sweeping away the lies. And then 10, you're grabbing. Do not covet. So, and I've got that poster over there. That poster was sent to me. It's copyrighted and all that, and unfortunately that's off. I'm not selling it. But it was sent to me from, with some curriculum called Ten Commandments, and they just stuck it in there with it for free, and I just love it. I thought it's been great. So, okay, I want to go to your question back here. What were you wanting to talk about?
I don't know if there's anything I specifically want to talk about. Does anybody have any ideas about techniques maybe they use to reach kids that are necessarily just so bright or so they've never been taught how to act, they've never been taught how to act. You know, we have a lot of those kids. The parents don't come, we pick them up, you know, they're very bright, they don't pay attention. They've never really been to church. Kind of, they're good kids, they're just, not disciplined. And it's very trying on a teacher. It's very trying on, I mean, we have them all the way up through college, but I mean, I deal more with the third through the fifth grade. So, if anybody has any, you know, ways that they deal with that, getting them to, because it's going to be threatening them or talking to their parents isn't really going to work, you know. It's a little more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm always open to new ideas on how to reach them, how to, and not just in the classroom anymore. You know, a lot of times I'm the one picking them up. You know, I get to spend a lot of time with them. And on a friendship basis, that's going along well. But in the classroom, you know, it's a struggle trying to get them to engage. It's getting better, but, you know, I hear that with all my youth ministry friends. They always have kids that are they're very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, that's one of the biggest... The biggest obstacle for me as far as teaching kids is the ones that don't have good parents, don't have been brought up in church and aren't really
disciplined.
Yeah.
And it's harder when you get a group of them together.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it beat
up.
It is. I mean, I taught a class Wednesday night, and it was high school and college. But, you know, even at that level, there was some junior high people there. And they, you know, I have to separate the chairs just so they weren't hard touching each other. They're not, you know, girlfriend and boyfriends don't love next to each other. I mean, it's just always, but most of them that are the problems are the ones that, you know, their parents are nowhere in sight. They're obsolete.
Does anybody have any feedback for him on that?
I was at Compact, the teacher's consultant, and we just take the paper, we give them warning, so they get to a point where they come and they want to be at church. They don't
right.
want to be at home.
Yeah.
They don't want to be with the parents. So that, for them, is something that's like, I don't want to go home. So we take them home and we don't teach them up the next week.
And I've done that. You know, you're not going to get the ride next week if you keep, you know, or I've even kicked them out of class and told them they have to go sit in the auditorium class right in front of the preacher so everybody knows that you're in trouble. And so sometimes that does work, but you know, and that's a good idea too, what you're talking about. And it is effective. I just didn't know if, you know, I'm always looking for other ideas as well.
Do you notice if they're more boys or girls that, or is it both that act up?
It's probably more, I pick up more girls because the boys are the ones that seem to be more, more misfits.
I think that's probably, and even in my classes, it seems like we have our second grade class, there's a couple of kids in there and there's one girl. And then they're the boys that are the very outgoing, amazing personalities, but in a classroom they're about to explode type boys. And what I found works for that type situation, I just have to keep them moving. I don't let them stay in one spot for more than 5 minutes because it, to them, and I remember reading in a lot of my educational psychology books, for a boy to sit through a class and to sit, and you know this, you were a little boy once, I'm sure, but for them to sit anywhere for a long span of time is like they are like a time bomb ready to explode. And so even if you have a room half the size, do one activity in that corner and then be like, okay, everybody jump like bunny rabbits or jump like whatever just to get energy out to move over to a different spot and just refocus it because they, a lot of it, I know a lot of it in your situation is behavior because they, you know, just haven't been taught that. But maybe to hold their focus a little better, just change up more often, which makes more a little more work for you. But it, to me, I find that that helps them out. I mean, when I teach those boys, my son's in that class, we're all over the church building. We have to be because otherwise I would go crazy because, when you prepare something and you don't feel like they've even got anything out of it. It's frustrating. So
another thing I've found is keeping the little groups separated where they don't. The little spark just seems to like it's not fire, and you know, keep certain kids separated. That tends to help a little bit, and then you get to the point where you feel like you're teaching more behavior in your Bible. This is not the way we conduct ourselves in the church building. You don't run, you don't do this, you don't do that. You don't stand up there and worship, you don't do it. You find yourself teaching more of this sometimes. It's very difficult. It's very difficult.
Something that we do, we have, ages 5 and 12, and we just have a lot of volunteers where it ends up being, maybe 3 or 4 kids per adult, and we try to do a lot of mentoring and modeling in those situations, but we also have a lot of a variety in the activities that we do. We'll start off with doing some singing with hand motions, so it kind of gets them active, and then we have a session where we'll discuss like the Bible lesson, and then we'll have activities where we go through and they'll like color or do some kind of craft or something, and then we'll have a game at the end with follow up by some snacks. So it's like a variety of activities. But the whole time, we have quite a few adults or leaders in the room, and if there's an issue, we'll kind of sit right there in the middle of them, like during the Bible lesson and that kind of thing. And we just form those relationships. And we do a lot of that modeling and mentoring with the kids. Because we have the same situation where there's kids that may not have a great home life. They don't have a good foundation. So we're trying to provide that for them.
Another thing you can do that I've found to be particularly helpful is if you already have, a variety of activities planned, like, and you have opportunities to run and stuff built in, and there's still behavior problems, is to give them charge of something, to say, make a challenge. Okay, how would you tell this story, or how would you accomplish this task? And because some of the kids who are the most trouble are their natural born leaders, and that's what they're growing into, and that's what they want to do now. Sometimes giving them a little bit of responsibility gives them a little bit of ownership in it. Kids love that. They feel important. And often they're more willing to listen to one of another kid.
Well, I kind of take issue with them not knowing how to behave because they go to school. And they got a public school teacher that one teacher can handle 20 of them. It's about like that. So I'd say pick the brains of anybody you know that's a public school teacher to see what they do. They don't always use negatives. They use a lot of tangible rewards, especially 3rd through 5th grade. They love any kind of little reward system that you can come up with. They'll behave like a charm or a small token of something. But I just say pick some brains of people who do it all the time professionally. They'll probably come up with tons of ideas for you. Consistency, being a loving model but firm, is always the best thing you work with these kids.
The guy that was in here, he taught a little Bloom class, how to use balloons in the children's classroom earlier. The thing that he started out saying it's so obvious, but it's so, it just really stood out to me that he said this. He said, sometimes if you go through a Bible class and you feel like your Bible lesson hasn't been taught, that's not really what your focus needs to be. What your focus needs to be is that God loves them and that you love them. And if they get that message out of that class, then that's what they're going to remember for a lot longer than your cool little balloon trick or science experiment or whatever that you're doing to try to teach that Bible lesson. And that through that love, they'll get God's love, which is our ultimate mission. And so that takes a lot of pressure off, I feel like. And not only a lot of pressure, it sent me back to, that's absolutely right. That's what we're here for. Yes, we're here to teach God's word, but God's word comes through God's love. And if you hear God's word through an angry or bitter person, you're not going to receive it well. And so I really thought his message was good and helped kind of settle me back down because I do. I like control in my classroom. I like, it gets on my nerves when somebody's constantly disrupting and I'm the first one to be like, no, listen, you know, and there needs to be an element of that because there's love in that too. But yeah, just to, sometimes I do get frustrated when it's so, when, with those second grade boys, when it gets so crazy. But I feel like everything I planned, you know, if I get like that, I'm not showing God's love. I'm not showing them patience. So I thought that was really good what he shared.
The point that this, about the reward system, something that we've done is we'll carry around little stickers. And, you know, each of the kids has like a little name sticker. And so if we see them listening and participating, and being quiet, we'll go around and put a little sticker on their name tag. And then at the end of class, if they've got a sticker, they'll get like a piece of candy or some kind of reward. And so that's a kind of a reward for, you know, modeling the right type of behavior. So that's something to try.
The other lady that I work with, she gives them a little chain, and she has these little foot tokens, and they have to earn these, but they earn them by doing, you know, other stuff besides behavior, but they get tokens for good, extraordinary good behavior, outstanding, noticeably good behavior. They get an extra token on that. So very similar thing, but then, I mean, my kids, when they get all their goal is to get so many tokens. How does that work? Get like so many, and then you get to take your necklace home once you get all your foot tokens, and then it's this cool little necklace.
And then you get this film container, and then when we get 15, then you put them on the chain.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. Did you hear? They don't even put them on the necklace. They collect them in the little,
containers.
She's a photographer also, film container. And so they keep them, and once they hit their goal, then they get to make a necklace and take it home. So it's very similar. It's something they are very excited about. So I think somebody over here was about to say something.
That's what you said. They don't hear how much you know.
Yeah. Sorry. Anybody else have anything on that? We could talk about discipline all day long. I don't.
One thing that I've learned, I had a little boy in my class that was five, and he always liked to sit right next to me and miss the day. And I was always saying to him, if you stop, don't do that. If you stop, I'm going to have to tell your mom if you stop. One day I decided to just love on him and give him. He was doing it for my attention, so I thought, okay, I will give him attention. Not what he's expecting. So one day he was doing something he shouldn't be doing, and I grabbed his arm and I said, Timothy. Well, he had already done something nice. He had shared with someone. And so I grabbed his arm and I got right his face and I said, Timothy, I'm going to tell your mother about this. He just looked at me like, yeah. And I said, I saw you share. And I'm going to tell your mother what you did. And I'm so proud of you. And I just kept going, I never, ever had another problem with that child. And he got the attention. He
right.
He wanted the positive attention in 6 minutes. And I just used all the time. Hey, she did something really good. Yeah. Praise him for it. They will do that.
That's good. Does anybody else have any other questions you want to bring up or anything random? I'm just opening it up right now.
Yes. Anybody else surprised at the organizational aspect involved? Like, I really didn't think when I got into Children's Ministry I had visions of just playing with kids all the time. But it is so much of it is volunteering stuff. I wondered if you had any strategies for.
You know, when I first started working in children's ministry, I didn't either. I was the same way. And then I did. I already told you that's the part that I really hated was getting volunteers, and I felt guilty calling people. And but recently, something we did several years ago is we got just volunteers that were coordinators for every two grades, and I just asked them, will you oversee those classes and kind of keep in tune with those teachers, and will you keep in tune to make sure that their curriculum is, you know, working for them? Because what the third grade girls and boys learned last year is not going to work for the second grade boys this year. We got to, you know, just know it needs to be fit for them. And then those people also were in charge of finding the teachers that were a good fit for them. And so that one person had the task of finding two teachers instead of one person having the task of finding 14 teachers. And it, and then we meet every quarter, before, we haven't done this since the story because the story was like one big long thing, but when we did quarters, We met a few weeks before each quarter started, and we would go, we'd meet at a restaurant and have a dinner meeting, and we would talk about everything we need to know, getting, you know, just get caught up on, you know, so-and-so moved, or we didn't know about that. Now there's a new girl in this class. We need to add this new role, and here's her birthday. I mean, all that stuff. How's everything going? Have you, I mean, we would share fun stories. We would share, you know, but it was a really good, and I don't know if that's it, but honestly, the last few years for me have not been, stressful, and it's weird, and this sounds almost too heavenly to be true, but people call me now and ask if they could teach. They ask when there's an opening to teach. And it's just like, and I still have, like for May, when May starts, I still have to find two teachers, but I haven't even tried to find teachers, but I only have two to find on my own. That's without even the coordinators doing anything. But a lot of it, I think, is attitude and attitude about children's ministry. There are those people that will teach because they feel obligated to teach, and there are people that teach because they love teaching, and the more you can find the people that have the passion to be in there, the more the word spreads that this is something cool to do. But the more you get those people and say, it's your responsibility, you have to be in here, you have to, I get that, but they go out and they say, oh, I'm teaching the two-year-olds this quarter, oh, I'm so tired of it. That word spreads, and that negative vibe, it's dangerous. And I mean, I would hear it all the time because it was my friends that I hung out with. Oh, I'm teaching because you're my friend, da 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 da. And I'm like, well, thank you. And I used to take that. I used to be okay with that because I felt like I need to have somebody. I know she'll do a good job when she gets in there. Maybe she'll, you know, and I accepted that. But now if anybody says, call me back if you can't find anybody else, I never call that person back anymore. I just don't, because I want the right attitude in there and I want the right passion in there. And so I really think that's more of it, even less of the coordinators, but more of be picky about, even though it's so hard to be picky, and I get that, because I used to get the people that said, call me back if you can't find anybody else, you know, but I quit doing that, and I feel like the vibe, it just sends out such a positive vibe to where now, I don't feel stressed by it like I did. I feel very blessed that people call, and there was even a time last quarter that I had to turn someone down, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is uncomfortable, but it's so neat, you know, to have that problem. And, you know, this is something that I think might help with volunteers, but we don't do a good job with, but it's teacher training. And I wish we did a better job with it. Is anybody familiar with, or do they do anything for teacher training at their church, or do your children's ministers have sessions? Or I've always thought that would be neat, but we just don't. We don't have much. I mean, we make ourselves available to help with anything, but
we meet quarterly, and I stole a handbook from another children's minister with a covenant in it. And we go over that, and then we have you read over the covenant and what our goals are and what we're committing to, and you know, lets them know what they're getting themselves into. And then the quarterly thing is just a chance to talk about the new stuff that's going on. They seem to really enjoy that. But we're still small.
Yeah. I think your best training would be a double ship. I would think you find a really good teacher, and you put the person that wants to teach as their assistant
right.
And watch. And you just like when you're learning to teach, you have to watch people who are good.
I think you're right. It's like an internship.
Yeah.
You can tell them so many things, but until you're in there, you don't get it. So that's probably the furthest we've gone with teacher training, when we've got teachers that say, I want to be in there, but I don't feel comfortable. Okay, teach with this lady, you know. Yeah.
Well, I also think that your whole attitude of how you're putting the teachers in, if God is not calling you to be in that classroom, I don't want you in that classroom
exactly.
either.
Exactly.
And so your attitude towards them also portrays a lot. So, you know, that whole saying of, so goes your leadership, so goes your followers or your teachers,
right.
You know, if you're the coordinator. And so if you love children and the passion is sharing your Lord with them,
right,
then that's going to go on to them as well. And like you said, when I flipped and I said,
if you're not being called into that classroom, that's the last place I want you. I want you where God calls you.
Exactly.
But because then I have to answer for putting you there.
Right.
The kids suffer, you suffer. I mean, it's just a bad combination.
Yeah. And it stinks having to answer to parents. It's like, why is this teacher in here? It's
exactly.
Like, they're volunteering. I don't know. But,
so
yeah.
How do you get rid of the teacher that's not there?
Have you ever had to do that? I did. Not very long ago, I had a teacher, and she's not in here. But she is a very kind, loving lady. But she came from another congregation not very long before that. Usually we wait 6 months before we let somebody teach just to get them in. And she'd been there about 5, so it was kind of breaking the rules a little bit. But she was like, I love kids. I just don't feel like I'm in place if I'm not there, you know, all this. And then I had a couple of parents say something about her. And so Linda and I took turns sitting in there with her throughout the rest of the quarter because we didn't want to hurt her spirit because she had a true passion for teaching, but we wanted to know exactly what was going on in that classroom, and there's no better way than for one of us to be in there. And so we did. We just took turns sitting in there, and we saw what the parents were talking about, but it wasn't, she taught way over their heads, and she kind of was making them feel ashamed for not knowing as much about the Bible as they should have known, and she kind of quit doing that as much when we were sitting there. But she's a nice lady, and I put her off ever since. So I don't know what's going to happen when I actually have an opening. But I've kind of put her off, and that's giving her a chance to get connected with the other women at the church, too. So something else we do for our teachers, we're going to have to quit because I'm going to have a bunch of kids coming in here for the kids' class in about 3 minutes. But one thing that Linda and I do, we alternate at our homes. We have a lot of our teachers that love staying in the classroom, which is a huge blessing because for consistency's sake, for those kids to have the same teacher is great. And we give them at the end of every quarter, you can leave. And that way they don't feel overwhelmed. But a lot of them want to be in there over and over. And so we do a teacher appreciation dinner in Bunko. We alternate our houses every 6 months. And it gets crowded. But like I said, since we have so many teachers that repeat quarters, it's not too crazy, that you can do it at a church building or anywhere else too, but it's just a time that we come together as teachers and we just fellowship and we eat, we play Bunko, we have enough prizes that everybody gets some little $5 prize, and that's what we do for our teacher appreciation, but it also gives us kind of that time, and we talk about the kids all night long, and sometimes we aren't talking about the kids, but that's the center of what we're, you know, that's our focus, and so that's something that we've done for a long time, and it's a lot of fun, and it's most of the teachers really love doing it. But, yeah.
One more point, Liz. I've seen two different groups, and I love that you talk about your kids, but I hope it's more. I've been with one group that it was hashing out all the issues, and the thing was that I was really challenged with this group was it was all those negative things and, you know, not so much. Let's pray for the situation. Let's pray for the teachers who are going to be handling to have loving words, having that spirit where they're seeing Jesus, not just being disciplined into sitting into the chair. But really, you know, the other group was, okay, these are the issues. This child is moving into your classroom. You need to know these things. But now we're going to pray for you and pray for the student as they're moving into your classroom.
Yeah.
And really taking that other side of the
absolutely
token.
Yeah.
And then back to God's hands.
That's absolutely right. And what a relief that is to know that it's not all on you.
Right.
So that's great. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. And I hope that you all got something out of this class. And thank you for sharing. I know I got a lot out of it. So.